He Said, She Said, or Technically Speaking and Simply Put.
Hello, Tracy.
Hello, Corey.
No.
I did it.
No.
No, that's not it?
No.
Okay, sorry, Marv. Sorry, Marv. I know Marv Stefan gets really... Marv Stefan likes it when I do it properly.
But you get an A-plus for your attempt.
My effort. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll it's important. Which is more important? To do something really, really well, but cheat in doing it and appear to look like you're great, or not do something very well, but put full effort into it and be true to your spirit and heart?
Gee, oh, let me think.
So, my dear, what's cooking?
Well, as you know, I've been on the road for so long that I must admit that I haven't spent much time in the kitchen because I've been so busy.
I've been in the kitchen.
I know you have. You've been doing a great job. But, you know, I have found a new butcher in East Vancouver. And if you are a fan of lamb, this is the man to see. He only carries a Salt Spring Island lamb, which we enjoy very much. I've always been a fan of New Zealand lamb because it's so fresh and tasty. But nonetheless, I think I'm a Salt Spring Island girl now for lamb.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. So I bought some fresh cut. I mean, it couldn't get much fresher than these lamb chops that I bought.
Was the lamb alive?
Yeah, well... Not quite.
In the back?
I don't know.
No, not quite.
No.
But next to it, right? Hanging on a hook.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to say that, but I didn't want to offend anybody if they're a vegetarian out there. He took me right into the cooler with these lambs hanging there, you know, and he goes...
The sides of lamb.
Not a side, the whole bleed.
The whole lamb hanging from a hook.
And he cut those chops right off. You know, he had to, it took him about 15 minutes.
Well, that's fresh. And that's what you get from a butcher, right?
Yeah. And they just came right over. Anyway, he showed me how young it was and how fresh it was and yada, yada, yada. Nonetheless, they were delicious. But you do end up paying for a lot of the fat around it, but he prices it with the fat on it. So by the time I get home, I cut all the fat that's around the sides. So there's not a lot left. It looks small, but they are very thick. Right?
And tasty. Yummy.
Yeah. So what I did with these is I marinated them in extra virgin Greek olive oil, some sea salt, some crushed black pepper, and a touch of cinnamon.
Which you asked me about before you did that. And you said, would you like to try that? And it was totally successful.
Right. Because this is what this butcher, they're from, where did I say they were from? Tunisia?
Tunisia, yeah.
And they said, just do it with this. Marinate it for a little while. Now, you have to be careful you're not too much cinnamon, otherwise, because it's very powerful. So just a touch of cinnamon in there, so you can smell it and taste it, of course, but not too much. Then I threw them on the barbecue. It's always a good idea to remember that meat continues to cook, even if when it comes off the grill or it's coming out of the oven, unless you slice it. So that with this in mind, you'll never overcook the lamb. Or any meat. So it's better to undercook than to overcook, because you can always stick it back on the barbecue or back in the oven.
Plus, overcooking is damaging. If you want to destroy yourself in a typical fashion related to food, eat a lot of overcooked, damaged, dry, moistureless flesh.
And you know what, too, Corey? You hear the stuff about barbecuing, how bad it is, and cancer and all this. You know, forget it. You know what? I'm going to take a little bit more.
Well, roasting is an original form of cooking, like roasting over a fire.
Yeah.
You know, think of Aboriginals catching wild game, or an Indian, or an Inuit, or whatever.
Yeah.
And I mean, many of those people ate it raw, but those that did cook, you know, you stuck a steak through it.
Yes.
And turned it around.
Mm-hmm.
That's as base and primordial as it gets. The key is not to overcook flesh,
exactly.
Though.
Exactly. And we don't. We eat mostly.
You know, and you get into the inside tissue. That's where the life is.
Right.
And if you destroy that, you're in trouble.
Okay. So, lamb is recommended for every blood type, and it is a prime source of high-quality protein, vitamins, and minerals. And with other red meats, its protein is nutritionally complete with all 8 essential amino acids in the proper ratio. Lamb is also high in B vitamins, niacin, zinc, and iron. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah. The heme iron, the kind of iron that's only in animals,
mm-hmm.
which is not in plants,
mm-hmm.
and it's absorbed much, much more greatly and reliably than the non-heme iron that's in plants. So that's important to remember, that when you eat plants, you do get some iron. But the iron that is in animals, called heme iron, which is a part of their hemoglobin molecule, is very, very useful to athletes who lose more iron than non-athletes. So it's important to take that iron in.
I couldn't have said that better myself. One of the things that I find really interesting is the fat. Compared to other meats, lamb contains very little marbling, the internal fat that goes throughout the meat. It's not usually on the outside edges of the meat, so it's really easy to trim it. Did you notice that when you eat the lamb?
Oh, yeah.
Because we eat a leg of lamb.
Well, when I used to work at Canada Packers and International Meat Packers Association, when I was going to college in the States, I was getting some part-time jobs beef breaking and working with butchers, and I learned about marbling and how to recognize marbling and how it runs through as a fat through different animals in different ways.
So that's what lamb. Lamb doesn't have the marbling. It's on the outside. So you can actually get rid of...
Well, there is, not to the same degree, because...
Very little marbling.
In all flesh, there's going to be collagen, connective tissues, and fatty acids that run through the flesh. But the degree to which it does and the types of fatty acids that run through the flesh varies depending upon what the animal eats and how it lives.
So I just read that it says, like, a recent study also shows that only about 36% of fat in lamb is saturated. The rest is mono or polyunsaturated, the good fat, in one's diet.
Right, because generally lamb and sheep eat a lot of green grass.
And you get lots of CLA in there too, right?
CLA.
That's a goodie.
Well, from the lamb, the lamb makes it. It's a ruminant animal, right?
Right.
So humans can't make CLA, but we can eat CLA in animals with more than one stomach because of how they take linoleic acid, the omega-6 fatty acid, and change or conjugate it, and then once that's formed, it's transferred into their flesh, which we consume, as long as we don't damage and overcook the animal flesh again.
God, you're good.
You're a good cook.
So isn't that interesting for lamb? So if you haven't tried lamb, you know, it is an acquired taste, though, and it really does have, when you're cooking it and you walk into the kitchen, it has a different smell. But you know what? If you can overcome that, it's absolutely a fantastic meat if you're into eating meat.
And you know, one of the things about the Diadamo paradigm and the blood typing is that by nature, all my life, I've always loved lamb. And mutton, of course, I think is an aged lamb.
No, it's only over 1 year. One year old. Yeah.
Well, that's what I mean. It's aged. Okay. So imagine that being over 1 year and you're old.
Yeah, I know.
So
you're a mutton.
What does that make you, dear? Anyway, the connection with my blood type to lamb is very, very strong. And I've noticed this, like everyone I know who's a blood type B has this incredible attraction to lamb. They love it. They savor it. It's juicy in their mouth. They just dine and wine
Ruby
on it.
Ruby sucks the marrow
it's
out
incredible.
Of the bone. It's like an animal show.
So for all
lamb.
Your blood type Bs out there, ask yourself about this connection. Do you have an attraction to lamb? And how strong is that? And then also follow through on some of the other recommendations, because rabbit is supposed to be very high on the scale also for blood type Bs. But typically here in North America and Canada today, not yesterday, because in the past we used to consume a lot of rabbit, but today we don't. It's not a main staple. When's the last time you had some rabbit? Especially at Easter time.
Little bunny rabbits. Speaking
not
of
too
Easter,
popular, huh?
Italians eat rabbit.
Yeah.
The last time
a lot
know,
of cultures
guess
do.
Guess when the last time I had rabbit was with Linda and DM Milani.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Long time ago. And I had some rabbit at a restaurant once, but it was smothered in the wrong kind of weird sauce,
yeah,
and I didn't really like it.
Sometimes they put over the top with sauces.
Because people are somehow afraid of eating rabbit.
Yeah.
But it's good stuff. Yeah. And so the point that I'm making is that there's a connection between your blood type and the way that your body takes these things in. And if you're blood type B, remember, lamb is good stuff.
It's good for A, B, O, and A.
It's fantastic food for athletes.
All blood types can handle
because of the fatty acid structure.
Yeah.
It's excellent for health and heart function as well.
Good.
Okay, that was great. So, dear, who was our last month's special guest?
Last month's special guest was the one and only Debbie Perry. What a terrific interview. And when she answered a question that you'd asked her, she sounded like Minnie Corey. Oh, my goodness. Debbie is, however, a CSNA graduate, a certified sports nutrition advisor. She also runs the running club and is an athlete. So you and I were thumbs up as we looked at each other when she was answering a question. Remember that? We're going like, wow, man, this is cool. She knows her stuff. She's a terrific role model for women and educators, and she has a wealth of experience and knowledge. So it was just fantastic to have her on.
Well, it reminds me also that, number one, you have to have desire, and she's got loads of that. And without desire, there's nothing. There's no motion. There's no motive to act. So no ambition to achieve or acquire anything. You've got to have desire. So here's this, you know, young, pretty girl full of energy who loves to run. She's married with kids, has a family. She's happy, and she wants more. She wants to juice life. So she understands that to stay well, she needs knowledge. She needs to acquire information. So she goes to the Colgan camp. That's where I met her. She went through my courses. She's going through other courses. She's teaching, lecturing. She's using the information that she's learned in her workplace. Her work is her love and joy. Her work and her life are one. How good is that?
Exactly. And also, too, her kids are learning from her as well.
And she transfers that knowledge that she applies herself as a walking testament to the workplace, to her home. So it's real. It's dynamic. And the reality of the application comes through. She sees it in her life, in her clients, and in her children. And that continues to motivate her and remind her that what she's doing is right.
Well, I mean, just listening to her, she was motivating me.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's just like so nice to hear speakers when you know you're on the right track, but you hear them saying it and you're going, wow, it's just so awesome. So thank you, Debbie.
So, my dear, who is our next month's special guest?
Well, our next month's special guest is Brendan Brazier. He's become very popular today with his new product line, Vega Protein. Brendan is a professional vegan athlete. He places top in international Ironman competition. He's a designer and formulator of his own product line, as well as an author of the book Thrive. And he also lectures throughout North America on plant-based nutrition. It will be interesting to interview Brendan, as he is an athlete, but he's traveling all the time in hotels and eating in restaurants and yada, yada, yada. I'd like to know how he survives this. So we're really looking forward to Brendan Brazier as our next month's special guest.
And also his insight on how he obtains everything he needs as a so-called vegan athlete, and what special emphasis he puts on food. And also we'll talk about the formulation and what's in it, and why he put what it's made of together, and how that relates to performance as an athlete.
And he also is a cook, too. And you know how I love a man in the kitchen.
And you love a man who vacuums.
Absolutely. And hangs up pictures.
There you go. So I scored some points last night.
More than turn on and see a man at work, I'll tell you.
Good stuff. So I'm looking forward to that interview.
Absolutely.
As I always liked and love to connect with fellow athletes.
Mm-hmm.
People who love getting off in their workouts and exercise and training with passion and pride. Okay, dear. So let's get right to it. What is your hot topic for this fifth anniversary special?
Well, that's what it's all about, is our fifth anniversary special. I just can't believe that we've been producing SNU for 5 years. I remember the night, a long late night, that we discussed doing it, and here we are today. It truly is a labor of love for you and me, isn't it, Corey?
Yeah, and it's a dream come true. It all started off with my connection to FMU, Functional Medicine Update, and thinking of how I could take that same original idea, which was successful and still is, and I still subscribe to Functional Medicine Update, which is by Jeffrey Bland, who's a biochemist, and he interviews physicians from all over the world. And if you want access to some dynamic, incredibly technical, and very, very useful information, I think that you should consider Functional Medicine Update. But anyway, the idea for Sports Nutrition Update came from that, and we put it together. We started off with an interview with Dr. Michael Colgan and put it out there, and that's just how it started.
Absolutely. What I'm going to do is I'm going to let our listeners know how we actually produce SNU.
Because
that's
a good idea.
Maybe they're interested in it. But first off, I'd like to thank Len Osanek, the studio manager of Fiasco Brothers Recording Studio in beautiful New Westminster, British Columbia. Len has put up with us for 5 years now. Thank you, Len. Okay, so there is a process that goes to recording SNU, so I'll share this with our listeners. I book the special guest interviews approximately 4 to 6 months in advance. I introduce myself in the email and inform them of what it is that we do, and I send them a copy of SNU for them to review. And if they agree to do this, and 9 times out of 10 they do, I've tried to get the odd person there, and they just never have time to do it, but I get about 100-word bio and a telephone number, and then Len will call them on the scheduled time and day, which is, by the way, the first Wednesday of each month at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, most of our interviews are done via telephone unless the person is in town. Then we do a face-to-face interview.
And those are always fun.
Oh, yeah. It's great. You know,
I love the face-to-face ones.
Oh, yeah. I have an outline of our documents entitled SNU Basic Outline. So each month I just update the he said, she said. Where do you get your inspiration, Corey, for your clinical reviews?
Mostly from data that I have already compiled in the CSNA program, or from journals and clinical data that I study on a regular daily basis. So maybe something will come at me, and that's relative to a current topic in my mind or an idea that I want to try and get across. So SNU started off as an extension of the CSNA program. My idea was that while you're studying the program, you need some audio backup. You need to listen to what you're also reading.
Right. Mental protein.
And also an extension for continuing education. So you get through the 10 modules of the program, you've got this information, but now you need a source of continuous supply. You need to supply the demand. Information is coming at us all the time at light speed. So these interviews in particular will capture the professional history of an expert in a nutshell. And imagine this, you can get someone like, say, Colgan. You can get him into an interview and get into his mind. He's got like 50 years to draw from. So that is something that we can capture from all our professionals in their particular fields.
Absolutely. So then I just want everybody to know that this is edited. Okay. We do have an unedited version. Corey and Tracy unplugged. And it ain't pretty, folks, because...
Well, it's fun.
How many times have you and I walked out of this studio and have been higher than kites with excitement because of the special guest interviews? Each guest has shared with us so much, and it's been my pleasure, really, it has been, with each one as I book the interviews. So if any of the listeners of SNU have any suggestions for a special guest interview, please, please feel free to email me, and I will do the best I possibly can to get them as a special guest interview at TracyHawley@Shaw.ca. Now, Corey, with this editing process, after we get the original copy from Len, you take it home and then you listen to it on your computer, and then you, what do you do after that?
Well, the whole process from beginning to end takes about 10 hours of our time in terms of recording the interviews, preparing the information that we present on each edition, and then going through the editing process and clearing out the ums and the ahs and making it a smooth running, nicer listening, enjoyable process.
Right. And you know what's really funny is I used to always listen to speakers on these CDs and remember on cassette tapes, and I think, wow, are they ever great speakers? How do they not and ah? Well, it's edited. So I've learned a lot through this process of recording. So it's wonderful. So I'd like to thank all of you who are listening to SNU and Timeless Topics. They definitely are timeless topics. You can get from your library in the past 5 years, Timeless Topics. And Corey and I are honored to have you as subscribers.
Well, I had someone come at me the other day and say, Corey, what do you recommend for, you know, knee injury? And then he said, you know what? I've got a sport injury SNU.
Right.
I'm going to go back and listen to that.
Right.
He did that, and he went and got the remedies that I recommended, and now he's fixed.
Exactly.
So it's a library of data that you can load in your computer, and now with the new format, the way that we've got the volume case, you can store these.
It's easier.
As a library, and then just thumb through them and find the one on the particular topic. And that's why we like to label them with the topic so that you know what they contain.
Right. Well, we're getting better as we go along. You know, we were in the teething pains process. But, you know, we call it mental protein. And just think of it like this. Our body does not store protein. We have to have little fixes of it. Think of it like a campfire. How do you keep the campfire burning? You throw little logs in. Right? So this is what the SNU comes in. You listen to it once a month, and you may listen to it each week, just to hear little bits of it. So every time you get into a car, you keep plugging it in. So you're getting that mental protein on a regular basis to keep that blood sugar stable.
Well, let's say that you're on the course and you're starting a technical, a hard-to-understand issue, maybe the biochemistry of processing a carbohydrate, and I kind of water that down and simplify that or talk about that in the SNU. You can listen to it over and over and over again and get the lines down. It's like a lecture that you went to once and then you wish you had it on recording. Or had bought a CD so that you could listen to it again. And sometimes I do consultations that people say, do you mind if I record your consultation? Because I'd like to listen to what it is that you're recommending over and over again so I can get it.
Right.
So this is the advantage of having an audio resource like SNU so that you can store this. And we're going to move this thing forward for retailers. We're going to start selling this on a retail level. We've got some fantastic plans for expansion on an international level also.
If any of the retailers out there want to have a meeting with their staff, just plug in an SNU. Just do the clinical review or do a special guest interview, you know, and this is a really good way for your staff to get educated.
Well, one great idea for retailers is to get a stereo player and have this thing set up like, you remember the old old days where they used to play records and you'd go in and listen to it?
Yes.
Well, hook this thing up and have it available to play, and then you could actually sell albums there or even rent them like a library. You could have a whole library that you could rent out like a video store.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it's education and we need...
You've got to get people educated.
Right.
They're going to buy the stuff when they know what to buy.
Because we want people to keep coming into the health food store, and I would love to see a health food store in every corner. I think there's plenty of market out there, just like there is a McDonald's and a Starbucks and a hairdresser and a Chinese restaurant. So I really think that we need to get educated. We need to be special. So that's my thing.
That's your thing.
Thank you, everybody,
thing,
for listening to SNU.
Yeah, thank you as well. And let's finish off with your final word.
My final word is by Anthony Robbins or Tony Robbins. One reason so few of us achieve what we really want is that we never direct our focus. We never concentrate our power. Most people dabble their way through life, never deciding to master anything in particular.